Tell you, I didn't have to study up a lot because last week I preached my introduction as the entire message. So I have a whole sermon left that goes with that introduction. But I do want to read through that real quick because it was very important, and it's stuff that we need to know. What I'm going to share with you today and the next couple of weeks, it will change your life. It will change your life if you understand who you are in Him. Okay? And that's what I've been trying to talk about. I've been talking about operating in the supernatural as opposed to the natural. So we get saved. We get filled with the Spirit that goes with us everywhere we go. And then lots of times we still try to deal with everything in the natural. Sometimes we're still seeing everything in the natural. We're not seeing it in the supernatural. Or you could say spirit versus the flesh. Either way you go, we know that we've been empowered, we've been endued with power from on high, as the scripture says in the book of Acts, to go out and do, as a matter of fact, the word of God says exploits, that we could actually go out and do exploits. Well, look up the definition of exploits of the things that me and you could be doing. You know, we also walk and operate in the blessing of Abraham, okay, which is a physical blessing. When Jesus came, the spiritual blessing came, but the blessing of Abraham was literally a physical blessing for prosperity, for healing. You know, the Bible says there'll be no barren womb among you. And you know what? If you want to be poor, and you keep talking poor and all of that, He'll let you. You know? Or we can start saying what the Word says. And we have that same. He's called our father Abraham for a reason. Because you and I partake in that physical blessing. That's a part of our inheritance as well. So the physical blessing was given through Abraham. We know that we've been grafted into that. And the spiritual blessing, of course, was with Jesus. So then I started getting into a little bit about our authority. Because we haven't just been blessed with spiritual and physical blessings. We also were given authority that you and I could operate in. Yes, Satan is the god of this world. But if we know who we are, we know that he doesn't have any effect over us. Jesus came for that very purpose and that reason, that we could keep him under our feet. Amen? We're going to learn a little bit about that this morning. But before we go there, go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Gospel of Luke. And chapter 16. And I want to read the first 8 verses and just go through that for you that weren't here last week. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. In other words, I'm getting ready to fire you. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said to the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And this is the part that I was trying to get to you last week that I'd gotten revelation on. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Okay? Now, I thought I had revelation on that parable till I read that again and got that particular area. Jesus is saying, that's in red, and Jesus is teaching them about stewardship. Right? And stewardship, just we think stewardship, we think money. Stewards is over whatever God has given us. God's given us our families. God's given us a church. God's given us a car and a house or whatever it is that we have. We're a steward over all of that, right? So it's not just financial when we talk about stewardship. Here, it talks about the Lord having this steward who works for him, handling his affairs, and he wasn't handling them well, and he got fired. But on his way out, he says, look, here's something I can do. I can let my Lord know when I'm leaving that, you know, it wasn't all bad. And also, I can make friends with the people by telling them to cut this thing in half and paying it. And I can make friends with them. And the word says there that they would allow me into their houses. The Lord commends them for doing that. And then Jesus said that the children of this world do better within the system that they're in than the children of the light do with theirs. Mainly because the children of the light never really had it taught to them or understood that they have authority. That they don't just have to let whatever happens to them happen. That actually they have an authority to call those things that are not as though they were. Another version says, the sons of the world are wiser than the children of the light. So this dishonest man worked a dishonest system, and they increased. The children of the light work in an honest system, the kingdom of God. So we operate in the kingdom of God. Why do the children of the light not work the system that God's given them to increase and to overcome and to win like the world uses their system? The wicked increase because they work within a wicked system. But they work it. A con man's a con man's a con man. And man, they can work it. The children of the light, God's people, us, we have a better system, and we need to work that system, because here's what we need to understand, that God's system supersedes and is greater than any other system. So if that's the case, just imagine, if you can flourish, if you're wicked and working in the world system, just imagine what you could do and how you could flourish in God's system, which supersedes every other system, if we really believed it and went out and did it. Right? That's what the word's saying. So, I got a little bit of revelation on that that I'd never seen before. God's system rules over all the world system, and what in essence he's saying up to that point is that the people of the world were doing a better job using the world system than the children of God were doing using the kingdom of God. What's been given? What's at their disposal? What's on the inside of them, literally? You know, we don't want the kingdom of God just to sit on the inside of us and to do nothing. You don't want to just come here and get full of word and then walk out of here and just be full of word and not do anything with it. We get full of word for a reason, so that we can go out and use it. Who was it that I was listening to yesterday? It was a brother in Illinois preaching that he had gone out to Tulsa and he was going to school out there. Well, what he learned was he was a Christian counselor. He also pastors now. But what he learned was that every time he went into these counseling sessions, that pretty much whatever word he had in there, he was exhausting that word. And then one of the ladies that was teaching his class said, well, wait a minute. You know, you've got to be able to reach into the reservoir. He goes, reservoir? I ain't got no reservoir. He goes, whatever I got, I give it. Bam, it's gone. Well, there's good and bad to both of that. We need to get filled. That's why we need to get filled up till it's running over, so we have that reservoir. But we need to keep giving it out, because if you could imagine, just like anything else, if I'm filled up to here and I give out then maybe I'm only filled up to here. And then I give out and I'm only filled up to here. Well, I got to get that thing filled back up, which is relationship. Time in the Word, time in prayer. Sometimes it takes fasting to get to that point because we need to just understand who we are and what God's done in our lives. Not many people preach about fasting anymore, do they? But here's the problem. Many times believers are still trying to use a little bit of the world system and a little bit of God's system and think they're going to win. You can't do that. You can't flirt with the world system and dabble a little bit in God's system and think that you've, in other words, a double-minded man's unstable in all their ways and they'll receive nothing from the Lord. You're either in or you're out. Are you in? If we're in, then we need to operate according to the system. And we've been given the authority to operate in the supernatural, to operate in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And we have what we need to operate in the kingdom of God here on earth. Now that's what I preached an hour and 15 minutes on last week. So now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Go to verse 19. Are you there? If you've got a Bible that has red letters, you'll notice this is in red. Some people don't believe anything in the Bible unless it's red. And what they are is they're legalistic and ritualistic and don't understand that all the Word was given, for us. But the red words are important. I don't take away from that, but all the books important. But even people who use the excuse that they don't believe it unless it's in red, here it is. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we've been given authority. Right here, Jesus tells us that He's given us authority. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Okay, if you look up the definition, all, that means all. Right? Covers everything. All the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Here's the first thing that I need you to understand. We'll look at some scriptures. We need to, first of all, as believers, realize that we were created and we were meant to have rule and authority from the day of creation. From the day of creation, God's plan was that the people that belonged to Him would rule and have authority over everything in the earth, including the enemy. If you would look with me to Genesis chapter 1. And go to verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He said, let us make man in our likeness, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him. Does God have rulership and authority? He made us in His image. Male and female created He them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God's initial plan from the beginning was that He created man and woman that we would rule in the earth. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8. And go to verse 6. Psalm 8, 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that thou hast put all things under his feet. Okay, very important, right? Very important. David said that thou madest us to have dominion, and that all things were under our feet. We were created to rule everything on this earth. From the beginning, from creation. From a bug, you can squish a bug, to an elephant or a lion. I don't care how large the dinosaur, and even the devil. But we read here that Adam was under God's, Adam was God's under ruler, if you will. In other words, he was under the Father, ruling on the earth. That's what he told him to do. But he disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, what he did was he transferred the authority to the enemy. That happened with the first man, Adam. And if you'll look with me at Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. Luke chapter 4, because I want you to see that it's all word, word, word. Luke chapter 4, and go to verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world at a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. In other words, the authority was delivered unto him by Adam. And to whomsoever I will give it, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You and I were made to rule and have dominion. Since creation, that was the plan. But right off the bat, Adam transferred that authority and rulership to the enemy. Okay? So that's the way things operated for a long period of time. But here's what you and I need to realize. Jesus came back to earth for that purpose. For the very purpose of Jesus came back to take back the authority that Adam had lost through his death and resurrection. That's why Jesus came. That's what he did. He came that people could come unto him. We know that there were righteous in the Old Testament, but he came to take back the authority and to give it back to you and I to use here on this earth. Look with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Go to verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at there. All power is given in heaven and on the earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So we've been given the authority in heaven and on earth. You and I are supposed to go out and share the word of God, see people baptized. We can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. We've been instructed to do that. We can tell demons to go and they have to obey us. There's nothing that you and I on earth and in heaven do not have the authority to do. Look with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and go to verse 14. The book of Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, Jesus came here to do this for us. That through death he might destroy him that had the power over death. Who had the power over death at the time? The enemy. That is, the devil. And deliver them who through fear and death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So you know what? We're not subject to fear and death anymore. We're not subject to bondage anymore because Jesus' life, death, and subsequent resurrection and sitting on the right hand of the Father was done to take back the authority, to give it to us, so that God's will would be performed on this earth. We don't have to sit back and let things happen to us. We can sit there and happen to this world and do what we've been called to do. Everything that the first Adam lost through his disobedience was restored to us through the second Adam, who was Jesus Christ, by the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus triumphed over the devil and anything or anything about him that was associated with him. And the battle has been won. And we know that Jesus is the one who won the battle, took it back, and gave it to us. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and go to verse 15. I just wanted you to see that it's in the book. This isn't just some good sermon that people go and preach to you, and it feels good to make you think that you have a little bit of control and that you have a little bit of power. The book supports everything that I'm telling you. So if it's in the Bible, if we believe that the Bible is true, and it is, whether you believe it or not, then what the Word says is true, and we can take it at that value and go out and do what the book says, not just allow things to happen to us. Have you ever had some? This is what happens to me. If somebody tells me I can't do something, something rises up on the inside of me, and I go, oh, yes, I can. Well, you know why? Because if I read the Word, and the Word says that nothing is impossible, and nothing shall be impossible to him who believes, me, with God, nothing is impossible, then don't tell me I can't. That rises up in me. Sometimes rises up in me when it ain't right. So that's why we got to know what the Word says, right? Hey, because we speak the truth in love and faith worketh by love, right? So we have to distinguish. But we know what the Word says, so it's not difficult. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them. As another version says this, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumph over them in it. In what? In doing what he did to give us the authority back. The Word tells us that when he laid his life down, he went into the heart of the earth just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He went back, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, took those back, took that authority back, and then he let the bosom of Abraham, all those that were righteous up until that time, who had lived for God, but Jesus had not yet come. There's only one name under heaven by which you might be saved. That's the name of Jesus. So he goes down in triumph, lets the bosom loose, they ascend, he resurrects from the dead. Right? And took back all the authority, and he made a spectacle out of them. Another thing we need to realize about our authority is that we share. If Jesus was the victor, you and I share in the victory, and you and I share in the authority that Jesus paid the price for. Jesus paid the price, but you and I share, because you know what? We are recipients of the inheritance. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Whatever it is that Jesus inherited, we inherited, because the Word tells us we're joint heirs with Jesus. Whatever He's inherited, we've inherited. Right? Well, that's easier said than done. That's because you don't do it. If you say that, that's because you don't do it. And nobody ever said that life's going to be easy. Life isn't easy. But the good news is we win, whether it's easy or not. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart in this: I have overcome the world. He told us. He didn't say it's necessarily going to be easy. Everything's going to be a rose garden. Everything's going to be just exactly like we want it to be. It's not always that way. But you know what? We can take the authority that we've been given and change it. And the greatest power that we've ever been given is the power and authority to change ourselves. Because lots of times it's not the stuff that's happening, it's us. And God's refining us and getting us ready so that we can reign in this kingdom, right? So that's very important. Jesus has triumphed over the enemy, and we win, and we share the victory and the authority. But you know, sometimes we don't walk around like that. Sometimes we don't operate like we operate in authority. We don't, in other words, we don't go out and do what it is that we know. And that shouldn't be. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is just showing you in the Word that you share in what Jesus has done. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and making manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. In other words, you and I are partakers. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 5, go to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Who's received abundance of grace? We all have. Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life of one, Jesus Christ. You and I, He is our righteousness, but you and I, because we've inherited, because it's our right and our authority, are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because we're joint heirs with Jesus. What belongs to Him belongs to us. We have abundance of grace in our hearts and in our lives. Not the kind of grace, and I won't mention any preachers, but there's a bunch of people out there preaching a gospel that you can live however you want to and still make it to heaven. They used to call that jailhouse religion. Because lots of times that's what they taught. The truth is, God always loves us. But the truth is, you and I are supposed to live righteous. You and I are righteous, but you and I are supposed to live holy. In other words, we can't just go out and do anything we want to. He didn't give us greasy grace. He gave us an abundance of grace. But He didn't say go out and live however you want to and just think that everything's going to be great and you're going to make it into the kingdom. Nothing ever says that. But there are very popular ministries out there, Word of Faith, charismatic ministries that are teaching that type of gospel. Very popular ministries. Be careful of that gospel because it sounds good. But you know what? The one thing that hasn't changed is faith. Faith. We're going to receive whatever we receive from Him by faith. Faith operates by love, right? So, if we want to know what God has for us, it's going to be by faith. Everything Jesus did was not for himself. Everything that he did was for us. Jesus had everything that he needed already. What does God not have? Jesus had everything that he needed. But he sacrificed it all and he performed an unselfish act that you and I could have authority and reign on this earth and in heaven. And though we didn't do one thing to earn it, we share in everything that Jesus did when he went to the cross. Here's another thing we need to know. We need to recognize now that he's gone and taken it back, and he's given it to us, and that the same authority that he operated in, the same victory that he walks in, we need to also recognize our position in Christ so that we can go out and exercise the authority that's been given to us. We're not just to sit there and go, I have authority. I know people kind of poke fun at the cops, you know, the policemen, and go, oh, they're probably down there having donuts. You know, they're sitting down there having donuts. But just because they're sitting down there having donuts don't mean they still have the authority. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christian that are sitting in the parking lot, got all that authority, but they're eating donuts. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, go to verse 18. This is actually a prayer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I want you to hear that he gave all that to the church. You're the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's not talking about his physical body. He's talking about you and I, who are the extension of that body here on earth, to go do what we've been called to do, to walk and reign in the authority that we've been given, and not just whatever happens, happens, but we actually have that authority. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and go to verse 4. Are you there? But God, who is rich in mercy, and everybody say amen. Thank God for mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you know what? Where's he at? He's at the right hand of the throne. All right? But he's made us to sit with him, to share with him, to partake of what is his. Now, right now, I told you, heaven has got two stories. We're to have heaven as it is on earth. Kingdom of God's two stories. We happen to be here on earth right now, but we have authority. We just read like three scriptures that said we have authority on earth and in heaven, in this world and the world to come. We've been given that authority. We're going to rule and reign in the kingdom to come too. You can say, well, I don't feel like I'm reigning much right now. Well, that's why I'm preaching. Because I'm telling you, you're supposed to. Well, it's not just that easy. Yes, it is. I mean, if we believe God's word true, God's word is true, and it is. If you believe God's word is true, then you have to operate by the word. And no matter what anybody else says, you operate by the word. No matter what anybody else thinks, and I've told you, you don't have to go out and tell everybody that's what the word says, but you need to know what the word says. You need to operate by what the word says. And if there's a time where you don't know how to operate in it and you don't know what to do, you need to pray, because the Bible says that whatever it is you need to know, it's already inside of you and He will draw it out. When you're put in that position, don't worry about what to do. Don't worry about how to pray, because the Spirit of God on the inside of you will pray. The Spirit on the inside of you will show you what to do. But I tell you what, whatever it is going to be word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, well, I'm not talking about sinning. I'm just talking about what I don't know what to do. Well, if you're not operating in the word, what are you operating in? If you deny me, that brings a whole new meaning, doesn't it? To if you deny me, I'll deny you. So if we're operating and we got a situation going on and we don't operate according to what we know is true, which is the word, and we operate some other way, what are we doing? To him who knoweth to doeth good and to doeth it not, to him it's a... Now look, this isn't a condemnation message. At all. Might be a conviction message, but it's not a condemnation message. So we need to know what to do. Why do you think you were given power to tread over serpents and scorpions? Because they're under your feet. But we have to, by faith, claim the position that we've been given. By faith, we need to operate in the position and the authority we've been given. He belongs to us. He's given us the authority, and we're not subject to Satan. He is subject to us. Look at Romans 16:20. Romans 16, go to verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So, we need to understand that the enemy and everything that comes to us that way that doesn't line up with the word is under our feet. You can say, well, I blew it. I'm just reaping seed. Well, you know what? Thank God for mercy. Because you know what? God can turn that thing around. When we realize and we repent, there are some things that we got ourselves in the condition that the condition our condition is in because of stupidity gone to seed. Now, I ain't calling anybody stupid, but has anybody in here not done something stupid before? Okay? That was it right there. To say you were one of them. Just kidding, brother. But I mean, we've all done stuff that you know, we didn't put prayer into it. We didn't put thought into it. And the Spirit of God was going, no, don't! Just screaming. The Spirit of God was screaming at the inside of us, and we still didn't do anything about it. We just went ahead and did it. Right? Against everything we knew, against everything that we felt. We went ahead and did it. And then wondered why it didn't turn out roses. Well, here's your sign. But God has mercy. Right? So we know that even when we've done things like that, when we've learned and we stand on the Word and God flows His mercy through us, then you know what? We're in position now. We're in position to go and do what He's called us to do. We also need to realize something else. We need to realize that according to the Scripture, people use these words interchangeably, but it's actually two Greek words in the Scripture. Power and authority are different, but people before have used them interchangeably. And we need to realize the difference between power and authority. The first one is dunamis. Dunamis, which is like dynamo. Dynamite. Power. Ability. Might. Miracle working power. That's dunamis. It's the power that's given to us when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Dunamis power. Holy Ghost power. Miracle working power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power." Another version says, "You will be endued with power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And there's a bunch of people out there that teach that the only reason that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is why when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, and there's no such thing as a baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you've only been given that power to witness, because God doesn't do miracles anymore, and He doesn't heal anymore, and He doesn't perform signs and wonders and miracles, any of that stuff anymore. So you don't need that kind of power. That's not available, because that quit when the last disciple died, which is amazing, because all the disciples had people with them that were working in the same power that lived beyond them, but it quit with them. Well, and if that's the case, we're all disciples and we ain't all dead. Right? But that's what they teach. But that's not right. There is something beyond being saved. And yes, the Spirit of God comes on the inside of us, but we are baptized in the Spirit of God. And we need to be baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And everybody talks about the tongue thing like that's the big deal. It's important because it's the evidence that you've received it. But that's not the importance of it. We've been given a spiritual, heavenly language. I'm going to tell you right now, when you don't know what to do, you need to enter into that language and pray. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. Build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. Power. Power. Miracle working power. Holy Ghost power. Dunamis. That's the word. That's what it's talking about. All right? The other word is exousia. And by the way, that power is not just to be witnesses. It's a power for us to be witnesses, but it's a power for us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's power that we cast out demons. It's the power where we set the captives free. It's the kind of power where we let the poor know that they don't have to be poor no more. They can be rich. We can fight the good fight of faith. And by the way, what's a good fight? The one you win. If you got whooped, that wasn't a good fight. Might have got scraped up a little bit and let some endorphins out. But the good fight is the one you win. The good fight of faith. Exousia, though, is we've been given power, but we've also been given exousia, which is the authority to go and use the power. Right? The authority to go and use the power. freedom of action, right to work. It's the same that kings have and that policemen have. These people that have positions of authority. So you can say whatever you want to about a policeman and what you think about him or her, but when they're wearing the badge, they're in authority. Matter of fact, they've been given authority when they're not wearing the badge. You and I have been given the authority even in the temporal realm or the worldly realm. Do you know that we can actually place people under a citizen's arrest? Now, if you tell somebody that, they'll go, "Who do you think you are?" But you've been given that authority by the state to do that. That you can do that. I saw on TV the other day where a guy caused this wreck, and he was driving, he's weaving all over the road and stuff like that. Some guy got him down, out, pulled him off the side of the road, and the guy gets out like he's going to fight him, but he was drunk. So you know what they did? They got him on the ground, got him in a headlock, threw him on the ground, and the guy had his foot on top of him like that till the police got here. He goes, "You can't tell me what to do." But he did. And they said that he was in his right as performing a citizen's arrest because he could have been causing harm to others. Now let me tell you something. I'm not going to tempt God. So if somebody comes out with a gun and says, "Shut up," I'm going to go, "Okay." Because he gave me wisdom. Think I'm going to tackle him? Not unless he turns his back. Turns his back, I'm on him. But I doubt he's going to turn his back. Right? But we've been given authority, spiritually speaking, not just to let stuff happen to us. You know, so let's say that something occurs and that thing on the inside of you just rises up. Could be fear. Well, you know what? You have authority over fear. You have authority over the enemy. People go, "Oh, well, it's my prerogative to fear and worry." No, it's not. As a matter of fact, you have authority over fear. And how do you take authority over fear? You go, "Enemy, you're a liar. I've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and might." That's what I've been given. "Of a sound mind. So if my soul man's lined up with my spirit man, and I know that's what the word says." That's where that comes in important. That I don't have to let fear just overtake me. The Bible says that if our love hasn't been perfected, which should be telling you a little something about your authority and your power here, that if we have fear in our life, our power, love has not been perfected. We don't live in fear. We don't live in worry. We don't have to doubt. Doubt, what's the word say? Guess what? We're not going under. We're going over. I don't care what this economy does. Hey, I think it's really funny that the governmental agency chosen to grade how strong people are financially, that they would call it standard and poor. Who just gave the United States a AA+ rating coming down from a AAA rating. But the standard and poor, there's nothing about us and God that's supposed to be standard, and we know we ain't poor. But that's the governmental agency that oversees the strength of financial institutions. Well, here's your sign. There used to be a restaurant out called Po' Folks. It went out of business. Wonder why? Because it's called Po' Folks. We need to realize that we're to exercise the exousia, the authority that was given us, and when we use it, we use the name of Jesus. Do you know that the Bible, We talk about this all the time. Your angels have been commissioned to serve us. Right. If we invoke them to serve us. In other words, if we release them, and the important part is Jesus' name. You know, I was listening to Billy Brim preach, and this is where that really came to light. She was talking about that her daughter was laying in bed, and literally there was a spirit that moved into their home. And when that spirit moved into the daughter's home and these other people that were there, it was literally moving stuff within the room. And she laid there almost paralyzed with fear, but she was releasing her angels. But then the Holy Spirit rose up on the inside of her and said, well, say what you're supposed to be saying. She goes, I am saying what I'm saying. Let the angels release it. He goes, no. In what? In what? In what? In Jesus' name. The power that we've been given is in Jesus' name. The power to heal, Jesus' name. The power to reign, Jesus' name. The power for all that. So in Jesus' name. Well, you can say, well, I prayed for them and they were healed. You can say, so you're saying you healed them? No. It's in Jesus' name. Now, people want us to stop and say that. But sometimes when we're sharing with people, we don't stop and say that because we're saying, I prayed for them and they were healed. We did. We prayed for them and they were healed. We happened to be obedient. We know it's not us that heals. It's Him that heals. But the authority that we've been given is in Jesus' name. When you pray, you don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father. In Jesus' name. That's the formula. Look at Mark 16. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Look at verse 17. Okay, so what have you been given authority to do? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth shall not be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. There's just something about somebody that's got a demon that I love to pray for that. I love to pray for that. I'm going to tell you what. I've been in places where a demon was manifesting itself. And everybody knew that the demon was manifesting itself. And I'm looking around all these strong spiritual believers. They were gone. I go, where'd y'all go? Well, probably it's because they heard all that preaching that said, now I'm going to tell you, if you ain't right, if you ain't got it right, you better get out of here because that thing will jump on you. Because it's going from arid places looking where it might go. That's what the word says. Hey, but they've twisted it all around. I look back there, there's about 40 people down there till the demon manifested, and then it was two, me and the pastor. But the demon doesn't have authority over us. They'll cuss you. The demons will cuss you. They'll make them spit on you and all that. But you know what? We have the authority over that. We have the authority over that, and we win. Hey, they shall take up serpents. Oh, they shall speak with new tongues, which, by the way, that's where everybody wants to part ways, right? They're saying all this stopped, but this is written to disciples, which they believe we're supposed to go into all nations and preach the gospel and go here and go there and preach the gospel. It says, they shall speak with new tongues. What do they do with that one? If it died with the last disciple, what do they do with that one? I know what they do with it. I'm just asking a hypothetical question. They just make stuff up is what they do. They shall take up serpents. That don't mean you have to go grab one on purpose. But if one happens to be in your way, You can get rid of it. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the authority that you've been given in Jesus' name to go do. All authority and power exist in that name, the name of Jesus. And we've been given the right to use the name of Jesus every time. The devil and the demons have to obey at the name of Jesus. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, even them, even devils and demons. Acts chapter 16, just a few more. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In other words, she told fortunes, and she made them a lot of money by telling people fortunes. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High. The Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. In other words, he's out preaching. People's getting saved. He's got some demon following him around going, this man's of God. This man's of God. This man's of God. He didn't want no devil going telling everybody he was of God. So he cast it out. He didn't go and lay hands on her and go, Jesus' name! In the name of Jesus, come out. He spoke to it. What did Jesus do? He spoke to it. He spoke to it. He spoke to the sickness. He spoke to the infirmity. It wasn't like he was going towards against that person. I remember the denomination I was in before. A pastor that I was under's mother-in-law was deaf. Well, somebody came and prayed for her. You know why she never did receive her healing? Because when somebody came and prayed for her, they go, look, a pastor came one time, and when he was there, she was supposed to receive her healing. But the family said, including the pastor, they were offended because they go, she doesn't have a demon. But deafness is the spirit of a demon that caused all sickness is a spirit. You know, colds, spirit, flu, spirit, cancer, spirit, come on you and to oppress you, spirit. But she wouldn't receive it because they were offended because they were trying to, they took it as if she was demon possessed. She wasn't demon possessed. She had a demon of deafness that had attached itself to her body. Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Now John answered to him, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade them because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. Okay, so you know what? Everybody might not say it just like we say it, but if they're getting a job done, then, you know, don't be against them, be for them. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ do. They kind of tear each other down. Now see, if I go somewhere preaching that God wants to heal, there'll be people to come against that teaching. Well, I ain't got to fight and argue with them. I know he heals. Now, there might be some people there that don't receive because of their unbelief, and these people that keep coming against you trying to sow the unbelief. There are people around who just follow ministries around to try to tell them that nothing happened is real. There's one guy saying that he's going to give $1 million to whoever he finds that a bona fide miracle has been performed. Well, he don't ever go to places and mess with any ministers where it really happens. Because there's some bona fide documented miracles all over the place. Last one this morning. We need to also recognize that we exercise our authority in Jesus' name, but we also exercise our authority using the Word of the living God. So we exercise it in Jesus' name. That's where the authority comes from. The power comes from the authority, but we use the Word. How do we know that we've been given the power over that? Because the Word tells us. You don't have to worry about it. It'll line up with the Word. Hey, them granola Christians, the fruit, flake, and nut people, they go out there and listen. If you tell me you're killing abortion doctors because, you know, you're doing God a favor, to me, no, not to me, the Word doesn't bear that out. Because you don't break one commandment to fulfill another. And the Bible plainly says, do not kill. Murder. Do not murder is what that word means. Lots of people don't want to go to war because they say, well, really, they're chicken, just don't want to go. Nobody ever signed up and goes, I think I'm going to go to Afghanistan and let people shoot at me. I mean, right people don't do that, right? However, people go and fight for our country, but they say, I'm not going to go because the Bible says not to kill. Some people truly have that religious conviction. I think some people use it as an excuse. But that word there means do not murder. And when you're going out and fighting for your country and fighting for the freedom of those within your country, and you have gone to war and you've put yourself under the authority of the military, you go and do what they tell you to do. Right? That's not murder. But some people have used that as an excuse, and I'm sure they would find that debatable. But I don't have a problem with it as I see the word lines up. Look with me, if you would, at Mark chapter 4. We use the Word of God. Mark chapter 4. And let's go to verse 3. Verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So you and I know that the Word of God tells us these things. You and I know that the seed that is sown is the Word. The seed that is sown is the Word. The people that have received the seed of the Word have been revealed the mysteries, which is what the Word says. People that say that I don't believe that God would, a good God would allow people to suffer and all that, that's because they don't understand what the Word says. God doesn't allow that. People go, well, God could have stopped 9-1-1. Well, God has the power to stop 9-1-1, but God wasn't going to stop 9-1-1 because He's given me and you the authority to change the things on earth. And those are people who are creatures of choice. We're creatures of choice, and we're going to choose whether to operate by the seed of the Word, or we're going to choose not to operate by the seed of the Word. Obviously, those people aren't operating by the seed of the Word. They were listening to some other word, Allah, And they thought they was going to get a bunch of Virginians in heaven, George Washington and all the, virgins in heaven, as you know. But weren't they surprised? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. I'm going to skip a few, but you can read the in-between. Go to verse 17. And came, in other words, when you heard the word, it came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. You all, you and I are also supposed to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And no matter what the circumstances dictate, the Word of God can and will change us. But we've got to speak the Word to watch it to happen. There was a centurion in the Word, and he came to Jesus, and he knew that the Word of God was powerful. Because you know what? The centurion, which had a bunch of people under him, and had people that were under his authority, and he was under the authority of others, he understood authority. Because he understood authority in the military. And my dad was in the Marines. When the Marines go, you're moving to Okinawa. My dad goes, but I don't want to go to Okinawa. He goes, yes, sir. And he goes to Okinawa. And then, right when he's falling in love with Okinawa, they go, now you got to move to Hawaii. He didn't go, I didn't want to go to Hawaii. He goes to Hawaii. And he's been to other parts of Japan. And he went to Vietnam where people were shooting at him. But you don't say, I don't want to do that. Whatever they tell you to do, that's what you go do because you're under their authority. When I was in the Marines, I had a few too many one time at a club, and I was on base, and I got arrested. And so I'm in the brig. And I'm making a bunch of noise, and the and it's like 9 o'clock at night. So I was wasted at 9 o'clock at night, which I'd started early, and Bacardi 151 will do it to you. And I go in there, and I go, I'm banging on the bars, and they go, "What do you want?" Because everybody in there is going, "Shut up, man! I'm trying to sleep." I go, "You shut me up!" I wanted to fight King Kong right about then. And they came out and they go, "What do you want?" I go, "I know my rights." And I get a phone call. They go, "You're mistaken. You're property of the United States government. And you have no rights." I go, "Well, thank you very much." Hey, I mean, I appreciate you reminding me of that. But I do what they tell me to do. And I operate in what they've told me to do. If they go, "You're leading this platoon, and I want you to go to the other town, and I want you to do what you've got to do to overtake the other town." What do? You go overtake the other town. But we've been given authority from God, a loving God, but a powerful, almighty God who's taken back the authority and given it to us and told us what to do with it. And how did he tell us? By his word. What his word says is true. The Bible says God cannot lie. And it's true. All of it's true. And you and I are to go out and operate in it. This centurion understood authority. Right? Look with me, Mark chapter 8, and I finish with this. Mark chapter 8, look at verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard that, he marveled. And the more I think about it, I marvel. Because how did this man relate that Jesus could just speak? This man recognized the spiritual authority. Right? He recognized the spiritual authority. Am I in the wrong spot? Matthew 8 then. Like I said, Matthew chapter 8. Lord, healed. He recognized that authority and he said, go. When you say go, I know it happens. I don't need you to come, because if I tell one of my people to go, they just go. If I tell them to stay here and do that, they just stay there and do that. But he recognized that Jesus had the authority to get it done without going there. In other words, he was seeing some stuff that people who've been in church their entire life still have never seen. That all we have to do is, at the name of Jesus, speak to it. And it has to happen. We've been given that same authority to use His Word and to speak it and to do it in the name of Jesus. And when we do, faith believing, it happens. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that very same hour. So you know what? The centurion recognized that Jesus just had to say it and it was done. He didn't have to go there. Now I got mixed emotions. I want Jesus to say it, and then I want him to come home with me. I don't want Jesus not to come to my house, but say it and let him be healed when I get there, but come on with me. But this man understood some things about authority. And you know what? We need to do that. We need to operate in the supernatural, not the natural. We need to operate in the spirit and not the flesh. We need to operate not of the system of this world, but in God's system, and understand the power and the authority that we've been given. We're not powerless. And you know what? Sometimes we think that wherever we're at on the food chain when it comes to what our jobs are and stuff like, but you know, the kingdom of God is something totally different. The kingdom of God is, I have authority and reign at wherever it is I'm working. The people that I'm working for are blessed because I work there. I'm blessed. If I'm blessed, the blessing will overflow unto them because I work there. So I'm not subject to that. I'm going to do what they tell me to do because I understand authority. They pay me. Work as if I'm working unto God. But they're blessed because I'm there. You can say, well, there's all kinds of Christians there. But they don't know this. They don't understand this. And if they do, the place is double blessed. Because you understand it and they understand it. Right? Stand with me this morning.